July 12, 1979, the White Sox and Tigers were due to play a twinight doubleheader at Comiskey Park. A local radio station, along with White Sox owner Bill Veeck and his son Mike, devised this promotion. Fans who brought their unwanted disco records would get in the game for 98 cents. The records would be collected, placed in a crate in center field, and blown up between games. Comiskey Park was completely sold out, with thousands reportedly outside still hoping for tickets. Then things began to unravel. Many of the fans waiting crashed the gates. After the first game, the crate of disco records exploded as planned. Thousands of fans immediately rushed the field. Some lit fires. The batting cage was destroyed. The field badly damaged. Multiple fights broke out. Veeck got on the PA and pleaded for the fans to return to their seats. They didn't. 39 people were arrested. The umpires declared the field unplayable and called off the second game. Disco Demolition Night took its place as one of the great promotional fiascos of all time. But looking back, what's the big deal? We all know that records were made to be broken.
Wow. That's as weak as Bob Costas has ever been. Normally, it's one of my pet peeves when they go, a local radio station. It's such a cop-out on TV, a lazy TV thing that TV producers do. No, it's not a local radio station. It's the radio station. Name it. It's the talent. Name it. So
sounds like you've been on the receiving end of that once
many times. Yeah. You don't have any material for this story unless you name what the local station is. In that case, you know, it wasn't like Steve Dahl and the Loop were going to hide. Was it the Loop? I think it was the Loop, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we've invited Dahl to come.
Actually, I don't know. At that point,
yeah, I'm not sure.
One of the other FMs.
But we've invited Dahl to come back on the show a little bit closer to the event, which is the anniversary of which is coming up.
July 12th. And it was the Loop.
And, you know, anytime Steve Dahl and I are on the radio together, it makes a lot of sense. What?
Hey, it'd be the second time.
In a short period of time, yeah. So, the legend Steve Dahl and Disco Demolition Night. Steve Dahl's been dealing with this for 40 years.
Pretty amazing.
Crazy, right?
I mean, but it's history. I mean.
Oh, it's a huge part of baseball history. Yeah, without a doubt. Who was doing color that night?
Well, I mean, it would have been Harry and Jimmy on television.
Jimmy
Pearsall.
Right. And Jimmy was not a big fan of the event.
No, he was not.
Remind me, when Dahl's on the show, I want to ask him if Pearsall ever, you know, confronted him about it. So,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. Anyway, the White Sox are giving away 10,000 t-shirts to commemorate the 40th anniversary of Disco Demolition Night. The night itself is July 12th. They're giving away the t-shirts tonight. I'm not quite sure why, but apparently that's when it fit in the promotional calendar. But we'll have Dahl on to talk about it, you know, at some point soon. And you know who was there that night?
Probably in the bullpen, I'm thinking.
I was not there. No, I was 15 years old. Ed Farmer was there that night. Did you know they were going to do that, Farmio?
No, and I pitched that night.
Oh, you still...
I pitched in game one.
So did you? Yeah. Did you?
That's
did
why
you?
The record. That's why it was 98 cents to get in. The Loop was 98. I mean, Bob would have that one pretty well in his back pocket.
So did you know that was happening between games?
We had no idea what was happening between games. All I know is that when I threw a pitch, there was a 45 disco record flying in the infield.
Good God.
Yeah, dodging disco records in the seventh or eighth inning. I don't know.
So you guys are in the dugout, or I should say in the locker room between games. When did you become aware that all hell had broken loose?
When they were trying to break the 8x4 that was protecting the clubhouse, and they were distressing it. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
They were distressing it, and we had police guards in the clubhouse just in case they broke through.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Now, everybody's got to remember, this is pre-cell phone. This is pre-internet. Mm-hmm. You know, monitors were living in the three-channel universe.
Wireless.
Yeah, exactly. So unless somebody had a CB out there to tell you guys it's worse than you thought. So you're in the locker room. When do you find out the game's canceled?
We found out before the fans found out. And I got out in the car and, pulled out of the player's lot. And somebody punched my car door.
Is that right?
And I got out and I told them I didn't want him to do that anymore.
Yeah, I'll bet. You probably said it just that way.
I didn't really say it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. And that night when you pitched, how did you pitch before the record started flying?
Got him out.
Nice. There you go.
I just made the transition. I came over from the Texas Rangers, and they started me 3 games. And I went 0-3 with an earned run average of 13, covering 9 innings with 22 hits. And I went to manager, and I said, I'm a different guy out of the bullpen. He goes, you want me to put you in the bullpen? I said, opposed to putting me on a boat? Yeah, that would be a good thing. And it was Don Kessinger, and he started using me in the bullpen. I think I won 27 innings with, I gave up 3 hits.
Nice.
And then I became the closer, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
It was a Thursday night, and the Tigers won the first game 4-1, and then the second game, the nightcap that was never played, that became a forfeit. And I remember I was sent over working at another station. I was sent over to interview Bill Veeck and Sparky Anderson the next day before what was supposed to be the third game of the doubleheader. Yeah. And Bill was very apologetic. He said, you know, he was really embarrassed by the way it.
Well, Sparky should have been fine. He got a free win.
You know what? Sparky was very sympathetic because I think, Ed, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he liked Bill Veeck, and he was sympathetic to what the White Sox were going through, even though I think he was glad to get what amounted to a doubleheader sweep.
You know, he had already left the Reds where he had won. So winning in Detroit was a big thing for him, but they were winning. And he was a gracious guy. I'd see him in California on the road, and I passed him one day, and he pulled up next to me and went, slow down. I said, I'm going 50, and I'm on the freeway. Speed up.
That's tremendous. Did you know Steve Dahl back then?
No, but I did listen to him, and we became friends after that. And I went down one day and co-hosted the show with him, and he didn't know I was coming, and it was pretty good morning, I think, anyway. You know, you never know how it was. But he and I still to this day get along very, very well. And, you know, he was in a green flak jacket that day with an Army helmet on.
Yeah.
He wasn't prepared for it either.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't know that I've ever defended Steve publicly, so let me do it now. When you put that idea together for promotion, you have a certain sense of how it's going to go. Nobody planned on a riot. Nobody planned on people losing their minds and creating all the havoc they created. So, but I tell you what, 40 years of talking about it, and that's a part of baseball history. All right, let's talk about these current White Sox, Dave.
Well,
yes, absolutely.
The ball that Eloy Jimenez hit the other night, Ed, how many balls have you seen hit that far in guaranteed right field?
None. Zero. If he pulls it to left field, it's on the concourse. That's above all the stands, because this thing was headed for the scoreboard. They estimated like 470. I mean, that's just an estimation. You could put 500 feet on it. It took off, and it was long gone. It just was crushed.
Down the line, it's probably on the Edens.
Absolutely. If it's in Wrigley Field, it's over the houses that have seats on them across the street.
How about that?
Yeah, he's a strong kid. I mean, this is a guy, just hook a star on him and let him go, because that's what he's going to be. People are not going to be calling Eloy Jimenez. It's just going to be Eloy after a while. That's how good of a talent he is. Plus, he backs up the bases. When there's a single right field, he's exactly in left field. There's a guy at first. I look, and he's back by third base in case there's an overthrow.
Yeah.
He's been taught well.
Fundamental baseball. Super Joe, you got a question for Ed Farmer?
I certainly do.
Hey, Ed, the draft was last week, and obviously they took a bona fide hitter with the first-round pick, but the next two picks were two high school pitchers. What's the advantage to taking a pitcher out of high school in the draft?
Well, I was in the big leagues at 18. I was taken out of high school. That was an advantage for me. You get to teach that kid before someone in college has taught him something else. He's in your plan. That's not to say they can't make a transition after they come out of college. I was a national cross checker and a head scout for the Baltimore Orioles, so I would go in and see these guys. But you're getting a baby basically at 17 or 18 years of age out of high school, and you're going to teach him that Oriole way or the White Sox way or the Yankee way of how to pitch or how to play the game of baseball correctly. And you don't have to unravel anything that a college coach may have told him that wasn't true. But college coaches, they do a great job with these kids as well.
Dave, when's the next White Sox game?
Next White Sox game will be tonight, the first of four against the New York Yankees. And Ivan Nova will pitch against his former team. And then tomorrow night, we get to see Lucas Giolito take the mound against the Yankees. And I'm looking forward to this series, Ed. I think this is going to be a lot of fun, the next four games to close out this homestand.
Well, we won two out of three at New York. That doesn't make you winning three out of four here. But with Giolito, he's going back to the arm swing I saw in 2012. Cooper's done a marvelous job with him. And he and I have a little thing that I tell him before he goes out to pitch when we're on the road. And now I'm going to have to change the vernacular of it, and because he's 9-1. And I said the second week or second start he had, I said this guy could go to the All-Star game throwing like this. If he doesn't start the All-Star game, I want to see who does, because he has been so good. It's ridiculous. What we want from Nova, he doesn't have to prove anything to the Yankees tonight. Just that he's the best pitcher in the ballpark
there
tonight.
There you go. That's it. And, Ed, you're always welcome here. Thank you, buddy.
Guys, thanks for having me. I'll talk to you.
All right.
Thanks,
there you Ed. Go.